Today's daf is Shabbos daf Kuf Nun Gimel. And we're at the top, the very first line. The Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Huda Breder of Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. Me Espedo Shel Adam Nika Im Ben Olam Haba Hu Im Lav. So you can tell from a person's eulogy, the eulogy about a person, whether he's a good person or not, whether he's someone who's going to go to Olam Haba. If he is a good person, they're all crying about him and they're praising him. Ini, is that really true? Vamar le rav rav shmuel bar shilas achim vespeda the hasam ka'imna. That Rav said to Rav Shmuel bar shilas, he says, when you eulogize me after my death, I want you to awaken the mercy of those who listen, so that they're going to cry. That since my soul is going to be there and is going to hear your words. The question is, why did Rav have to tell Rav Shmuel bar Shilas to tell him that he's got to, work on his eulogy if he's an Adam Kasher? So they're obviously going to they're going to cry for him. So Lo Kasha Ha Dimechamu Leva Achim. So he says that by an Adam Kasher, when they make the listeners, to get them all worked up, and they're going to cry, but without. With an Adam Kasher, so they're going to cry after, I guess they're machamim them, they're making, they get them all worked up, so then they're going to cry. But without that, they're not going to cry, because when an older person passes away, it's more expected. So what we're saying is that you just have to, like, when they mention powerful things about the person, then they're going to cry. But ha dimichamalei velo achim, that even when with an adam who's not kasher, even when they say things to make them feel bad about it, they still won't cry. So amalei abaya l'rabba kagon mardus sonalei kulo pumpadisa. They're like, it's like this guy that everyone from pumpadisa hated him. Mad achim espeda. Can there be someone who can eulogize him appropriately? Misatya at Rav Bar Chanan. So Rava said that it's enough for me that you and Rav Bar Chanan should eulogize this person. So the Gemara says, "Boy, mine Rabbi Elazar mi Rav Ezehu ben Olam Haba." Who is someone who is a ben Olam Haba? Merlei. So Rav said, "Vaznecha tishmana dava me'acharecha leimor zeh haderech lechubo ki saminu v'ki sas me'ilu." So he says, and then your ears will hear something from behind you saying, "This is the way to go." So he's saying that when someone hears those who are going to accompany the person, they say, "Go in the way that this nifter went, that this person was deceased," without turning right or left. So if you hear that, then he's definitely a ben olam haba. Rav Chanina Amar, who's a ben olam haba? Kol shadas Rav Seder Nochei Menu. Anyone who that the rabbis feel pleased, with him. The Gemara now explains the pasuk that's speaking about the maila of a person, the advance of a person, that they praise him. So the pasuk says in Koheles, "V'savavu bashuk ha-softim." So b'nei glila amri, "Asei devarim lifnei mitascha." So they say that the b'nei galil say that the intent of the pasuk of "V'savavu bashuk ha-softim" means do things that the eulogizers will say, do good deeds. So after your death, then they will mention in your eulogy. But Yehuda Amri, I say dvarim la'acha mitascha. And he say, do things after your bed. So what does that mean? Velo pligin, there's no argument. Mar ki yasri. The B'nai Galil were speaking like the Minig HaMakom, that the Hesped would stand in front of the mita, in front of the coffin of the person, and praise him. And the Minig in Yehuda, in Judea, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, was that the eulogizer would stand behind the coffin and praise him. But in both instances, they're saying you should do things that the good deeds, so that after your death, they will eulogize you appropriately. Tidat Hasa. Rabbi Lazar Ober Shuv Yob Echad Bisascha. You should repent one day before your death. Shalu Tabida Ves Rabbi Lazar Chiyadav Yadei Is a Yob Yabos. Does a person know what day he's going to die? Over the head, he said to them, so what's his point? Yeah, so certainly you should repent today because maybe you're going to die tomorrow. But he said, call your mother tshuva. All your days you're doing tshuva. Rav Shlomo Amar Mechach Masa B'chaleis Yuba Gadecha Livadi V'Shevet Aroshchal Yechzar. At every time, your garment should be white and there should be oil on your head. It should not be missing. Amar V'yochad B'tzakai Mashal Lebelach Shezibet Esavar Av Lisudav Lo Kavah Lohem. So there's a story to a king who invited his servants for a meal, and he didn't fix the time when they should come. The smart people adorn themselves immediately with nice clothing. And they're sitting by the opening of the house of the palace. The Abu, they said, so nothing is missing for us. We're ready to go to the palace. The foolish people went to their work. Abu, they said, they said they certainly need to prepare for the meal. So it's going to be a while. We can do what we want. Suddenly the king asked the servants to come to the meal. The smart people are going into the meal where they are all adored and looking good. The foolish people enter in front of him when they are soiled because of their work. The king was happy to meet the smart people and angry to meet the foolish people. Those who adore themselves for the meal, so let them sit, let them eat, let them drink. Those who did not dress nicely, let them stand and see how the smart people sit and eat. Similarly, that's what's going to happen. Only the smart people, i.e. the people who prepare themselves for the heavenly feast, will partake in it. The mechutin of Rabbi Meir said the name of Rabbi Meir, because the son-in-law. He says, it's impossible that the foolish people will stand and merely see, because they will be seen that they're serving the king. In other words, that's even good for them, that if they're at the feast, they're still benefiting from it. So that's not a great parable. Ella, this is the parable. Elu ve'elu yoshim. They're both sitting at the meal. Halalu ochli v'alalu re'evim. These ones are, the smart ones are eating, the other ones are hungry, the foolish people are hungry. Halalu sholsim. So the smart ones are drinking. V'alalu tsumeim. And the foolish ones are thirsty. And because they appear to be hungry and thirsty, so then this demonstrates the embarrassment they're going to have that they didn't prepare for the heavenly feast. Shenemar komar Hashem, hinei avadai yochlu v'atem tiravu, hinei avadai yishtu v'atem titzma'u. That behold, my servants will eat, you will be famished, be starving. Behold, my servants will drink, and you're going to be thirsty. Hinei avadai yorodu b'tov lev v'atem titzaku b'kev lev. My servants will rejoice, will sing, or will cry out from happiness and from a good heart, and you will cry from a heartache. Davar acher. Another explanation for the pasuk b'chaleis you b'gadecha levadim, and every time your clothing will be white. Elo tzitzis. This refers to the tzitzis, a beged that you put on. V'shevet al roshcha al yachsar, and the oil on your head should not be missing. Elo tefillin. This refers to the tefillin. Hadur alach perek hashoel. Okay. Next parak, the 24th parak. So the Mishnah deals with how should a person deal with a situation when he's Erev Shabbos, and all of a sudden it gets dark. So the Chachamim were lenient, allowed him to do certain things if he's got stuff with him. The Mishnah says, Misha Hechshich Baderech. Let's say you're walking on the road, and it gets dark, and it's on Erev Shabbos, and you have a wallet with you got money. What should you do? And you can't walk 4 hours in Rishus Arabi. So what should you do? No, say Kisa L'Nachri. You should give your wallet to a non-Jew while it's still day, and he'll bring it into the city. Again, this is dealing with the Malach of Hotzav, carrying 4 hours in Rishus Arabi. Let's say he doesn't have a non-Jew with him. So let's say he's with a donkey. So he will place it on the donkey, and the donkey will... And the donkey will ride with the money.
Would he be allowed to do that on Shabbos in general also?
Not really, because well, you're saying if you well, they're allowing.
The donkey. I'm not talking about the humans of the guard, but.
Yeah, the donkey, but there's also a requirement of shvisas behema, that the animal should also rest. Right, you're not allowed to work your animal on Shabbos either. So it could be when you're leading your animal mechamer, so that could be an issue on Shabbos. You're leading your animal to do work, to carry your load on Shabbos, so that's generally a problem, because it says let's say a tal vincha b'techa abdcha v'maschu v'emtecha. So there's a
Right, but
requirement.
this is not his animal. I mean, from the Mishnah thing, he's on the road, so he's really putting this just on as like a,
No,
as.
I think the point is the donkey is going to go. It's your donkey, and the donkey is going to go with you, to the donkey is going to go with you to your house. So I assume it's referring to your donkey. So it's a special leniency that, again, what are you doing? You are. Oh, we're going to see. The Gemara is going to explain the leniency, because the leniency here is based on the fact that if they don't allow you to do these things, you're going to do a much greater sin, which is interesting. Sometimes Chazal will say they're not. Sometimes Chazal will not allow you to do certain things, because if they allow you to do it, you're going to do a much worse sin. And sometimes they allow you to do a lesser sin, or something which is rabbinically forbidden. They're going to say, oh, it's not rabbinically forbidden in this case, because if we don't allow you to do it, you're going to do something that's much worse. And the Gemara is going to explain. So the Mishnah continues, says he gila chatzar echitzoda. Let's say you reached the outer courtyard of the city, and you want to unload the burden from the animal. No tell es hakelim hani talim b'Shabbos. You can take the kelim that are not muksa, that you can move on Shabbos. V'she'enam nitalim b'Shabbos matir hachavolim v'asakim noflim aleihem. So when it comes to the kelim that are muksa, you can't unload them because you can't touch them, you can't move them. So you can undo the ropes of the saddle, and the sacks that were tied to it fall by themselves, but you're not taking them directly. The Gemara now asks, "My tamashar le'rabban le'mes of kisei le'dachri? Why are you allowed to give your wallet to a non-Jew to carry it on Shabbos? Isn't he your agent to carry it on Shabbos?" There are different theories as to why a non-Jew doing work for you is forbidden. So one is that he is your agent. So isn't that a problem? So the Gemara says, Kim lehu l'rabbanon de'ein adam ma'amida atzmo al mamono ilo sharis le asi la'si arba amos birshus harabim. That you're right that there is normally a prohibition of a non-Jew doing work for you, but the rabbis know, it's clear to them, that a person, it's very hard for him to restrain himself from saving his money. So therefore, if you don't permit him to have either a non-Jew to bring it to give it to a non-Jew or an animal, then the Jew himself will carry it in Rishus HaRabim, and he will violate an Isser Doraisa. Remember, this is not like it's it, just to be clear, it's not like the rabbis say you can actually commit a sin here. Min HaTorah, there's no problem to give money to a non-Jew to carry for you on to give money to a non-Jew on Erev Shabbos to carry for you on Shabbos. And we're going to see also there's no prohibition to put it on a donkey on Erev Shabbos, and for him to the donkey to continue on Shabbos. There's no Torah prohibition, it seems. There's only a potential rabbinic prohibition, but the rabbis are making the rules here. So the rabbis are going to say, we're going to make an exception here. We're not going to make a rabbinic prohibition here, because they're concerned that if they make this rabbinic prohibition, then because people care so much about their money, they're going to forget, or they're going to be so concerned that they're going to justify carrying it for Amos and Rosh Hashanah. Amar Rava says, Davka Kiso. They specifically allow you to carry your wallet, because there we're concerned he's going to carry issues around of a metzia lo. But let's say someone finds a I don't know finds a something on the ground. Okay, he finds something on the ground, nice clothes, let's say nice piece of clothing, nice article of clothing, and he's going planning on bringing it and using it for Shabbos, whatever. He plans on bringing it home, and then Shabbos hits. There, you cannot give it to a non-Jew. Why? Because since he didn't work hard for it, he only found it. So then he's not going to say, oh my gosh, look at this. What a great look what I found. And now all of a sudden I can't use it. Okay, we're not afraid that he's gonna forget and say, try to justify a way of carrying it on Shabbos. If someone worked hard for his week's salary and now he's got it in his wallet, and now he's gonna say, oh my gosh, okay, I'm just gonna forego it. There we're concerned that he's gonna carry it 4 amos from Rishus Aram and try to justify it. So there we make the allowance and say you can give it to a non-Jew, but not a Metziah. The Gemara says Pshita, is that obvious? Kiso Tanan. It says in the Mishnah, Kiso, specifically your wallet that you're allowed to that they made this allowance for. So what's the Chiddush of Rava saying but not a Metziah? Ma'aratema who adina filum b'Metziah. Then maybe the halacha applies also with the Metziah. V'hai dekatari kiso. So why does it say kiso? The orcha de milsa katari. It just says a typical case. That's the most common case is where you're carrying your wallet, your purse. It's not so common that you're going to find a Metziah in Shabbos. So Kabash Vila, no. When it says kiso, it's not saying a just giving that as a standard case as an example. It's only kiso, but not a Metziah. And even with the Metziah, where he said you can't give it to a non-Jew, that's only where you didn't pick it up before Shabbos. But if you picked it up before Shabbos, then it's like your wallet. So we're totally changing what I just said and what we think it meant. It's not simply, oh, I didn't work hard for it. It's that it's only a situation where if you see a Metziah on the street right before it's dark and you weren't able to pick it up, then you can't tell a non-Jew, please pick it up for me and carry it for me. But if you actually picked it up, then you will say, oh my gosh, I found this Metziah and now I can't use it. And so we are considered you're going to carry Dalet Avos. So that's a very strong qualification of that stringency of Rava. Ikad Amri, there are those who say no differently. Boy, Rava Mitzia Baliado Mahu came into Asal Lide Bekis Kikise Dami Odima came to Tarpe Lab Kise Dami Teku. There's another version which says no, it's not that if you picked up the Mitzia before Shabbos, it's definitely okay. It's that Rava actually wasn't sure about a Mitzia that you picked up. Do you say that once you pick it up, it's like your wallet? And you can give it to a non-Jew. Or maybe since you didn't work hard for it, that we're not concerned that you're going to carry 4 amos and Shus Rabin. It's not like your wallet. So that's an unresolved question. Let the question stand. Ein imo nachri. So the Mishnah says, if you don't have a non-Jew, you put on a donkey. Taima, the reason, the imo nachri. It's only if a non-Jew is not with you. Ha, imo nachri, le nachri yaivle. You should give it to the non-Jew. In other words, if it's between giving it to a non-Jew and putting on your animal, you should give it to the non-Jew first. Why? My time, what's the reason? Chamor atamatuv al shvisaso, nachri atamatuv al shvisaso. Because there is a requirement to make sure your animal rests on Shabbos. You can't do malacha with your animal. But with a non-Jew, there is no such commandment. And therefore, better give it to a non-Jew as opposed to putting it on a chamor. Because it says, "V'yom Hashvi Tishbos L'man Yanuach Shorcha V'Chamorcha." So the truth is that a person it's also for behemoth to malacha for you, and so when there's no non-Jew, they only allowed you to put it on an animal in a way where there's no Isser Doraisa. So I guess since it's before Shabbos, and we're gonna see how in the next hour we're gonna see how you're gonna put it on in a way that's not an Isser Doraisa. So what? So since now the difference between a Nachri and a Behema is that a Nachri, there's no original Isser Doraisa at all when it comes to a Nachri. This is completely created by Chazal for various reasons, good reasons, but this was completely created by Chazal. Here there's an underlying Torah prohibition, which is shvisas behema, that your animal should rest on Shabbos. So we're going to see that the way you put it on the animal, it should be done in a way that you don't violate a Torah prohibition of shvisas behema on Shabbos. But since there is an underlying, even though what you're doing is only rabbinic, since there's an underlying prohibition called Shvisas Behema. So therefore, if you have a choice, give it to the non-Jew or the Behema. So we say give it to the non-Jew. The Gemara is now going to continue to explain other types of, you know, when you have different choices, what should you do? So let's say you have a chabor b'cherishot v'katat, a chomer manachle. Let's say you have between a donkey or someone who is a deaf mute, or in those days, a deaf mute were assumed not to have intelligence. That's a discussion unto its own. But let's say, or a shoteb, someone who lacks mental capacity, or a child. So if you tweet a chamor or one of these three categories, chamor manachle, you give it to the non to the donkey. L'cheshot v'katan, lo yav, like, don't give it to the cheshot v'katan. Why? My time up, honey, adam, these are people. And we're concerned that if someone sees that you're giving it to, let's say, cheshot v'katan, then any person will then take it. Hai lab adam. So, but the chamor is not an adam, so you're not going to make the mistake. Cheresh v'shote, let's say between a cheresh and a shote, give it to the shote. Why? Because the shote has no das whatsoever. The cheresh has what's called dash kalusha, a weaker form of das. Okay. So okay. Again, question does that apply now? But okay, that's the assumption, at least in the times of the Gemara. So shote, actually, I think when Benny Lau came to our shul, so you want to make an argument, it doesn't apply now. So it's a question how you view the cheresh nowadays. In the certainly days of the Mishnah, they viewed them as cheresh as less mental capacity. Shote v'katan l'shote. Let's say if you can give it either to the shote or the katan, you give it to the shote. Why? Because the shote is that even if he becomes not a shote, as he gains mental capacity, he's not going to remember at all from the days when he was a shote. But a katan will remember when he gets older, and he might then carry it even when he becomes a gadol. In a similar situation. So now the Bnei Shiva have a question. Let's say if you have two options, either give it to a cheresh or to a katan. According to Rabbi Eliezer, that we'll soon see, there's no question. Why? The Tanya. Because we have a brisa which says the following. Rabbi Yitzchak, Omer Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Yitzchak's name Rabbi Eliezer. Trumas cheresh. So let's say a cheresh that separated truma. Even though the peros were not permitted, right? Because a cheresh who separates truba, someone who is a bar das, has to then separate truma afterwards. So lo teitze l'chuli. Nevertheless, even though you have to separate truma again, that truma which the cheresh separated is forbidden to non-Kohanim. Why? Bimnesha, who's suffic? Because there's a small doubt, whether the cheresh is chayv and mitzvah. So in other words, it's not, we don't view it as if a cheresh definitely is not chayv mitzvah because he lacks mental capacity. It's actually a suffic, it's a doubt. Kiti boil, and that is Rabbi Eliezer's position. So since it's a doubt, so certainly, if it's between giving the money, the purse, on Erev Shabbos to the katan or the cheresh, certainly give it to the katan. Because the katan is definitely not obligated mitzvahs, the cheresh might be. Kiti boilach. The question is, I'll leave it to Rabbanon, coin to Rabbanon, who hold that he is potter, that they're definitely potter from mitzvahs like a katan. Dad, chabisha lo yitrobo, vivtaru ein trumas and truma. There are five types of categories of people who shouldn't separate truma. And if they do, their truma has no status of, there's no status of the food as truma at all. Elu hey, who are they? Cheresh shote v'katan. So, cheresh shote v'katan. V'atoreb es sheda shelo. And someone who separates trumas without the permission of the owners, that's also not valid. It doesn't have any status. V'nachri shetarme shel yisrael afil b'shuso. And a non-Jew who separates trumas, truma, even if the Jew gives him permission, because he can't. So ain't trumas truma. These five categories. So there's the truma is not there doesn't have the status of truma. So Gemara says my lecheresh yahivle. So according to the chachamim. So that's the question. Do you give it to the cheresh who do you give your money to the cheresh? The katan also lichlal das, because the katan at some point will have das. When he gets older, Odilma lekatan yavler. Maybe you should give it to the katan now. Why? Because the cheresh, Because let's say someone sees you give the money to a cheresh, people will see, they won't know that he's a cheresh, and they're going to think you can give it to a non-cheresh. So that's the question. That's the lack of clarity as to who you give between the cheresh or the katan. According to Rabbi Elazar, you clearly give it to the katan because the cheresh is a suffix of chiyuv. But according to Rabbanon, where a cheresh is pater for mitzvahs, just like a katan, so then we have this question. Ikadami, there are those who say, l'cheresh yoiv, give it to the cheresh. Ikadami, l'katan yoiv, some say, give it to the katan. The Gemara now asks, Eid sham lo dachri v'lo chamor v'lo cheresh v'lo shetu v'lo katan. Let's say there's no dachri or chamor lo cheresh v'lo shetu v'lo katan. So what you do by Rav Yitzchak, so you're stuck. In most instances, you're stuck and you don't have there's no one to give to, just you. So he says, od acheres haisa.
Why can't he simply bury it and come back after Shabbos?
So again, I think people are. So that's the question. In other words, will someone do that, or will the person, if you tell them to do that, so how many people will listen? Versus how many people will try to justify carrying it dalat avos? Because they're going to say, well, you never know. So I might bury things, and obviously it depends on how much money you have as well, right? In other words, so we'll say, if I bury it, there's a good chance I'm not going to find it after Shabbos. I mean, it's an option. The question is, will people listen? In other words, sometimes Chazal, we typically find Chazal telling you not to do things, because if they allow you to do things, then you might violate, more severe Torah prohibitions. Like they make a fence around the Torah. Usually the fence is saying, don't do this, because if we allow you to do this, then you're going to, we give you a finger, you'll take an arm. But here, we're concerned that if we tell you, don't do this, the desire to keep your money that you worked so hard for and say, I'm not going to bury it, is so great that they want, then they say, we're not, our rabbinic prohibition is going to be set aside in this case.
So does this apply if you found the $100 bill on Shabbos? In other words, aren't we afraid?
No. So we're saying it doesn't. Because that's clear according to everyone, right? That's a mitziah where you can't be zochid on Shabbos, right? No, we saw before, mitziah is not only a garment. Mitziah is also, let's say, money. If you find something before Shabbos and you picked it up, so we saw two opinions in the Gemara, whether that's like you worked hard for it or is it you didn't work hard for it, and therefore they're not going to allow you to do it. Certainly, everyone agrees that if you see something on Shabbos, so then you can't pick it up. There we're not concerned that you're going to carry dalat avos. Again, will there be some people? Maybe. We're working with like people in general. I don't know what the percentages are. So here there's another leniency, but they didn't want to reveal it. Okay? So my odach eres ha'isa, so what was the other reason? Malich opachos pachos mi'arba amos. So they say you can carry it less than 4 amos. You basically you carry it, you stop, you carry it, you stop. So basically there's only a prohibition of carrying it 4 amos if you actually carry 4 amos without stopping. But if you keep on stopping in between, so then you don't violate the Torah prohibition. So that's good. Even if there is no non-Jew and there's no chereshot of katan, no animal, that's a good way to do it. But they didn't. They were very hesitant to reveal this, because instead they said, when there's a nachri, give it to the nachri, don't carry it yourself. Because this is something that's very hard for you to do, to tell you to stop every 4 hours. The Gemara says, Amai lo rotsu chamin l'galosa, why don't they want to reveal it? Mishum, kvod elokim, aster davar, kvod melachim, chakor davar. You're allowed to hide something, some Torah, for kavod shemayim. But you shouldn't hide Torah for the glory of the wealth of a person. But you should investigate it. So Gemara explains, Chacha, my kvod elokim ika, what's the kvod ika? What's the honor of Hashem here? Dilma asid lasuye, that maybe you're going to carry it, arba amos shus rabin. It's very hard for you to, if we allow you to carry less than 4 amos, it's very hard that you're not going to be very precise, and you're going to carry 4 amos. So therefore they said, if there's a non-Jew, don't carry less than 4 amos, but give it to a non-Jew. In other words, giving it to a non-Jew might actually be more severe in theory than carrying it less than 4 amos at a time. But we just think you're not going to do it in practice. You know, like there's you know, on its face and in practice. On its face, in theory, giving it to a non-Jew might be worse than carrying it less than 4 amos. But in practice, there's more of a chance you're going to mess up. The Gemara now brings this debate whether this is a good decree or not. Time of Elazar Omer, Bo Bayom, on that day, in the attic of Chadadya ben Chizkiya, where they made 18 gzeros, and they made a gzera not to carry your wallet less than 4 amos when there was a non-Jew. So Gadshu Sa'ah, they added a fence to the Torah to strengthen it from sin. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Bo Bayom Machusa. Rabbi Yeshua says with their gzera, it's actually they made like you had a certain measure, and they added a little more, and they caused, but by adding more they caused to lessen it. That is because they made a greater decree, right? So people weren't able to deal with their decree, and because of that they violated the Divrei Torah. And what emerges here is that it was worse. In other words, Rabbi Yeshua said that they actually, it was actually bad what they did. Rabbi Eliezer thinks it was good that they said, don't carry less than 4 amos, give it to the non-Jew, because we're afraid people are going to mess up. Rabbi Yeshua said, no, you made it worse. Giving it to a non-Jew is worse than carrying less than 4 amos. Tanya, Moshe, the Rabbi Eliezer, what's the parable of Rabbi Eliezer? Lama Davardoma, how is this matter similar? Lakupa Malaya Kishul Vidiluab, to a basket full of, you know, zucchinis, or is it cucumbers, I guess, and pumpkins. Adam Nosin Lasoko Khardal. If you put mustard seeds, Vihi Machzekes, so that strengthens the I guess the seeds or the kernels, I guess, because they fall in between the gourds, they're made in the basket. Mashal the Rabbi Yeshua lemad avodomer la reva malei advash, to a plate full of honey. Nosi l'toch rimonim begoz, if you put pomegranates and nuts v'himekia, and you get this, you throw up because of this, because the pomegranates and nuts are really nice, but when you put it together with honey, so it's not as good. Because maybe you're not going to believe. Maybe you're not going to believe that the non-Jew. It's saying for a different reason. When they said give it to the non-Jew, why did they make it worse? It made it worse because they said, oh, only give it to the non-Jew, but don't care less than 4 hours. Because someone's going to say, I'm not giving it to the non-Jew. He's going to take the money and run. And therefore, since they did not allow you to carry it less than 4 amos. So then they're going to carry more than 4 amos from Shus Rabin. So the question is, do you trust the non-Jew to carry your wallet? So Amar Mar, Ein imo nachri manich ala chamor. If there's no non-Jew, you put it on the donkey. Ah, v'lo machamer. Isn't there a Torah prohibition of leading the donkey who has a burden? V'rachmona Amar, lo sasa kol malacha. Don't do a malacha uvem techa, right? You can't do malacha with your animal. So Amar Ravada Barava manich ala kishihi mehalachas. You put the wallet on the animal while it is walking. So since the animal is not doing an akira, it's not like sort of, it's not like you only violate the prohibition of otzah if there's an akira and anacha. You pick it up and then you put it down. So the animal is not doing an akira, like a picking up the wallet, if you put it on top of the animal while it is walking. The Gemara asks, v'ho yevshet lo kaima, but at some point, it's impossible. It's just not going to stand. It's not going to stop. Lahashti ma'am lahatiglo, in order to go to the bathroom, as it were. Ve'ika akir vadacha. So when the animal stops and it starts again, so then it's going to, pick up its legs to go. And then it's going to, that's going to be an akir and hanacha, and that would violate the prohibition of mechamer. So the answer is kishima mehalechas manicha aleha, oshiomenes not lohimeno. So then when it's walking, you place it on it. And when it's about to stop, I guess when it stops, then you remove it. In other words, once it stops, you remove it. You pick it up from the animal and you're holding on it. You're holding on to the purse, and then once it starts walking, then you put it on the purse. You put it on the animal again. Yachi afilu al chaver nami. So do that even with a friend. So there's no akira nacha. So our papa kol begufo chayv chatas bechavero pater v'loser. Any situation that if you do it yourself, you are chayav a korban chatas. If you do the malacha with your friend, right? Why don't you do it? If you do it with your friend, so then it's a rabbinic prohibition. It's pater v'loser, and therefore, this malacha, if you do it by yourself, you'd be chayav. So therefore, they didn't allow you to do it with your friend, and then. So 1 second, I'm sorry. So he says, and therefore this malacha, if you would do it by yourself, let's say you carry it yourself, you'd be chayav, even if you would pick it up while you're walking, because you're picking it up with your hands. So the chachamim did not permit it to do it even with the wallet. And then he says, v'chol she chavero pater v'loser. So in other words, with you it would be chayav, so with your friend it would be pater v'loser. So any situation with your friend would be pater v'loser, b'chamor mutar l'chatchila. With a donkey, it's permitted l'chatchila. Again, these are all rabbinic prohibitions. So what he's saying is, since for you it would be a chayav chatas, for your friend, and you're while your friend is walking, that's pater v'loser. And then with an animal, it's even less. So it's completely permitted. Again, the malacha for you is an issur d'oraisa to do malacha on jelly on Shabbos. It's a very severe prohibition that you're chayv skila for. Shvisas behema, your animal working for you, so that's not a chiv. That you're not put to death for it. It's an issur d'oraisa, but it's a lower level. So therefore, if you knock it down to what you're doing to drabanan, you know, with your friend, so then with the animal it would be permitted lechatchila. Let's say there's a bundle that's placed on the shoulder, on your shoulder on Erev Shabbos. So then, and now it's Shkia, the sunset. So don't stop. So you run. Until you get to your house. So you run. Why? Because there's no Akira and Hanacha. If you just run straight and you don't stop, then because it was already on your shoulder from Erev Shabbos, so there was no Akira on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, Dafka Ratz, Aval Kali Kali, but if you go Benachas, you go night, you walk nicely, low, then you can't do it. My time, what's the reason? Came to Leis Lehakira. Since you're not running, you're not making a clear sign when you're walking, Asay Lemebad Akira Benacha. That since if you're not running, you're walking benachas. So it's true. If you're walking benachas, you're walking pleasantly. There's no rushing. You're simply walking nice. I'm sorry. You're not stopping. So there's no akira. But we're afraid if you walk nicely, you're going to forget and you're going to stop for a second, and then also the maybe akira benacha. Then once you stop and you continue going, then you can do an akira and hanacha. The Gemara says sof kimat lebeis yefshid lo kai pursa. He said, yeah, but when you get to your house, it's impossible that you're not going to stop a little bit before you get to your house. Because you can't run into your house at 1 second, become an Eile. And then once you enter, so once you stop for a second when you get to your house, then you're going to bring it, Mirshusaram to Shusayachid, and you're going to go from Shusaram to Shusayachid. So what does Gemara say? The Zarek Lekilachayaj. So once you get to your courtyard, you throw it indirectly. You throw their package in an indirect way, and therefore it's not a Torah prohibition. Amar Rabba, because there's no Torah prohibition, so the rabbis say because of the financial loss, they're allowing you to do it. Again, because if they don't allow you to do it, you're gonna carry it in a way that violates a Torah prohibition. The Gemara now explains, Amar Rabbi Barchama, Machamer Achar Behemto. Let's say you lead your animal when it's carrying a burden b'Shabbos. Bishoy Chayv Chatzos Mezid, Chayv Skila. So Chama Chama actually says, if you do it, Bishoy Chayv Chatzos Mezid, you're Chayv Skila. Wow. My time, what's the reason? Marava, the Markrelo Tatsikom Lacha, Vemtecha, Vemta Dumidide. So when the Torah says don't do work, we're comparing you to your animal. Just like Mahu, just like you, Bishogeh, Chayv Chatzim, Meiz, Chayv Skila, just like if you do Malacha, if you do it Bishogeh unintentionally, you're Chayv Chatzim, and Bemeiz, you're Chayv Skila, Afeham Donami, even if your animal does it, then Bishogeh, Chayv Chatzim, Bemeiz, Chayv Skila. Unintentionally, you're Chayv Chatzim, and Bemeiz, you're Chayv Skila. Rava says, wait a second, not so fast. Shtei Chuvos, I have two questions, Bedavar. I have two questions on Rami Bar Chama. Chada, so the first question I have is, so first of all, when the Torah is telling you the Torah learns that you have to bring a korban chatas when you commit a sin bishogeg, we learn that from if you worship a bodhazara bishogeg. So the Torah there says hukshe kol Torah l'kula bodhazara. So we learn the obligation to bring a korban chatas from any malacha, anything that you do that's similar to worshiping avodah zara bishogeg unintentionally. Ma avodah zara da'avin ma'isi begufe. Just like when you do avodah zara, just like for the sin of avodah zara, you're only bringing korban chatas. Why? Because what are you doing avodah zara? You're doing it with your body. So ha'cha nami af da'avin ma'isi begufe. So too, any other sin, you're only chayv a korban chatas bishogeg when you do it begufe, when you do it with your body. But machamer, you're not doing it with your body, you're just leading the animal, so you would not bring a korban chatas. We learn other things from avodah zara. So you don't bring a korban chatas, let's say, if you, I don't know, eat non-kosher food. Because non-kosher food, let's say nevela, that's not a chiyuv kares. Avodah zara is something where if you do it intentionally, there's a chiyuv kares. So we learn from avodah zara only sins that are similar to avodah zara. If you do them bishogeg, you bring a korban chatas. So what example is here where you only do it begufe in your body, not your animal doing it? And another one, just an example, is it's only averos that if you do it b'mezid, you would be chayv kares. But anyway, that's one question the Rava has around Rechama. But another question is, did Tanan hamachalos is Shabbos? If you violate Shabbos, you get skila. V'davar shechayav mashigas ochatav v'al zdono skila. Miklal de'ika midid ein chayav mashigas ochatav v'lo al zdono skila. Ma'inihu lab de'machamer. The Mishnah says that if you're machalos Shabbos, you get skila. And only if you do something that you're chayav on the korban shkaga chatas, then on the zadon, on the intentional, only if you're machalo Shabbos with something that bishogeg your chayev chatas, then bezadon your chayev skila. So mikla, we can deduce from here the ikamidi the ein chayev malishigasol chatas velo al zado skila. There's the fact that the Mishnah says that not in every situation of chilul Shabbos are you chayav bishogeg chatas and bizadon skila. That there are cases that there's a prohibition on Shabbos that you're not chayav chatas bishogeg, not chayav on the zadon skila. Ma'inihu, what is that? Lav de machamer. So the lav de machamer is a case where you're not chayav on it a korban chatas. So the Gemara says, "Lo, it's not a proof that now." There's apparently from this Mishnah we see that there's a case where you can violate Shabbos and you're not chayav of a korban chatas. So we're saying, what would that be? Machamer. So what do we see? Machamer is a case against Rami Bar Chama where you're not chayav of a korban chatas. The Gemara says, "Lo, not necessarily. Maybe this Mishnah is talking about tchumim. That if you violate the prohibition of tchumim, going more than 2,000 amos outside the going outside the city limits, so maybe we're talking about tchumim. Valiba the Rabbi Akiva, Kona Rabbi Akiva, who says that the prohibition is tchum Shabbos, or maybe it's havara, or maybe we're talking about havara. Valiba the Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says the prohibition of lo sareish b'chol moshav seichem. Since the Torah says you shouldn't kindle a flame on Shabbos, so that it specifies that tell you only get a lav. So that second challenge to Rabbi Chama based on this Mishnah is not approved, but the first one is a challenge to Rav Rechava, and therefore, according to Rav, he disagrees with Rav Rechava and says that Shvisas Beheba, even though there's a mitzvah of Shvisas Beheba, you're not allowed to cause your behemoth to do work for you on Shabbos. So nevertheless, you don't get skila or chatas or bring a chatas if it's done bishogeg. Okay.